welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast of your last place Miami Dolphins, at least tied for last place, because once again, the Miami Dolphins go into a game, and once again, the Miami Dolphins lose a game, this time to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 30-20, to drop to 4-6 on the season, tied with the New York stupid Jets. I am Sam Marcoux. He is Chris Colan. Chris, how the hell are you feeling after that loss?
Well, we're time of the season, I guess. There's a lot of famous movies that portray Christmas being the same day over and over again. This one person wakes up and it's the same Christmas day, and he ends up doing the same thing over and over again. That's what this feels like being a Miami Dolphins fan this year. It doesn't matter the game, if it's primetime, if it's Sunday, if it's a bad team with a backup quarterback. None of it matters. We just lose, and we lose to them, and it's either an embarrassing fashion or it's something where we had one or two things where if we had back, it would go differently. It's just the same old, Sam, and it's really, I mean, it's just really starting to irk me.
Yeah, I believe you're talking about Groundhog's Day, actually, with Bill Murray, and you know what? This season would be a lot better if we had Bill Murray involved with us, because man, what a shit show. We are now 4-6. The team is starting to lose faith in itself, Chris. One of the quotes that I heard from Cam Wake, and I'll paraphrase, was after the game when he just basically said, "Hey, look, we just got to keep going." And it was said in a way that was so like defeatist, Chris, that I kind of feel and fear that the team itself is now just kind of going to go through the motions. I mean, they're at 4-6. The hard part of the schedule here, the last six games, is really going to be an uphill battle. I mean, if we can't beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't see how we're going to beat a team like the New England Patriots twice, or the Kansas City Chiefs, or for that matter, the Buffalo Bills, who have a ton of problems right now at the quarterback position. Hearing that quote from Cam Wake was a little depressing, man, but it does seem like, to me anyways, that the Miami Dolphins are pretty much phoning it in for the rest of the season.
Yeah, Cam Wake's our Iron Man. He's been on the team so long, and you know, how we feel as fans, he has to feel as a competitor and as a professional. He's been on this team, and he's been through so many heartbreaks. As somebody that actually works hard and works for it, and comes back from injuries at an old age, and you know, just really goes through from playing with Jason Taylor and seeing him never win one big or actually be a part of like really great teams consistently. I mean, it's got to be waning on him. And when you hear that quote and you see them let Fitzpatrick drive down the field and win the football game on Sunday, and in just embarrassing fashion, we couldn't get to the quarterback. We couldn't get a turnover. After Matt Moore, of all people, is a shot in the arm and comes in and throws a 61-yard touchdown to Kenny Stills to tie the game. I mean, it was unbelievable. We're flipping out. We're going crazy. The home crowd is going nuts because a lot of people booed Cutler from his shit performance in the first half. And here comes Matt Moore doing what he does best when he comes off the bench in relief duty and just like chucking the football around. He doesn't give a shit. And the defense, it's on their shoulders, and they come out and just shit the bed, man. It's just one thing or another this year. The defense started great in the beginning of the year, and our offense fluttered. And then they get the opportunity to stop a backup quarterback in a game we really had to win if we wanted any opportunity this season. And it's just like they just shit the bed, man. And I'm just so tired of watching it week in and week out.
Yeah, I mean, I have a theory about Matt Moore. I mean, you hit it on the head right there. He came off the bench and was firing. I mean, there was one pass that he threw that – I thought, you know what, this is going to get picked off, and he threw it on a line, man. It was just a rope, and it got into, I believe it was Julius Thomas. I don't remember exactly who caught it, but it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, that's what it's like to have a quarterback that can throw the ball with some zip on it. Now, with that being said, I am not by any means suggesting that Matt Moore is who we should go with going forward, because we saw that shit show against the Baltimore Ravens when he started, and we didn't score a damn point. But my theory with Matt Moore at this point, Chris, is could we bring him in on the second play of the game? Because when he comes off the bench, the guy is actually incredible. It's when he starts that he seems like he's complacent or he doesn't know what he's doing. But if he's technically the backup coming in, he gives us a fighting chance, man. I might try that against the New England Patriots this week. Is just, you know what, we'll start with Jay Cutler. We'll hand the ball off to Damian Williams or Kenyon Drake, and then we'll pull him out. We'll bring Matt Moore in and see what happens from there.
Yeah, it's almost like makeup sex. When you and your girlfriend fight and like you're pissed off, so you feel like you have something to prove, and it's always like the best lay of the night and of the week. But if you like are just constantly getting in, it's the same old, and it kind of gets lull and dull and boring. Maybe Matt Moore during practice all week when he's the backup just walks around kicking cans and he's pissed off that he never gets his opportunity. And when he comes in on Sunday, his adrenaline's pumping and he just throws shit caution to the wind and starts just chucking the football around. But when he's a starter and he's preparing and he's working with these guys all week, week. Maybe just like lets his guard down or something. I don't get it. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, a lot of Dolphins fans want this guy on our team next year. As you know, I'm sure he made a gesture on Saturday after the captains didn't shake his hand, and he is not starting Saturday. He's going to play, obviously. And my dad and I were joking that he's not going to start the first play and they're going to hand off and then he's going to come in for the second play. That's what we should do with Matt Moore. Just have Cutler work all week, or even Doughty if he's in concussion protocol. Cutler, I mean, and have Moore think he's the backup. Gase used it against him like Jedi mind tricks, and then Sunday be like, all right, you're in, kid, and just call the bullpen. I mean, some guys are just bullpen pitchers, and he seems to be one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good observation, actually. I mean, there are just some guys that aren't going to be a starting pitcher if you're going to make a baseball reference, but excel at being a closer or a middle relief guy, and yep, maybe that's what Matt Moore is. I mean, essentially that what his career has always been, but we might have just finally found the defining label for him. The one thing that bothered me about Matt Moore in this game, Chris, is like I think it was the third or fourth quarter, probably the fourth quarter, and they had a close-up of him after he threw that touchdown pass to Kenny Stills, and it was in slow motion, and he was smiling, and I'm like, I'm watching this on a big screen. Do I really need to see Matt Moore's teeth up close and personal in ultra HD?
Right then, your LG TV decides to give you free 3D to see what it's like, and yeah, it's like in your living room.
I felt like I was on a ride at Universal Studios, and I was going down his throat like it was like some weird dinosaur that swallowed me or something. It was not needed. I mean, sometimes too much of a good thing is exactly that. It was too much HDTV. I was trying to eat my sandwich, and I'm like, this is disgusting, while food is flying out of my mouth, and that was less disgusting than what I was seeing on TV. But
next time, slow motion, the cheerleaders like cheering when we score, and just not zoom in on Matt Moore's face. That'd be great. Thanks.
Matt Moore's face looks like, have you ever seen Little Shop of Horrors, the plant when it's laughing and eating? It kind of just looks like that, you know?
Luis Moranis, man, I miss that guy.
Yeah, well, he's not dead. I mean, he's just in
Canada. Yeah, he just retired from acting, so. I mean, I love his movies.
He's just in Canada. That's all.
It's basically being dead.
Yeah, that's true. It's cold there.
I'm just kidding. To our Canadian fans, I love you.
We have Canadian fans. We don't have Canadian. Oh, we do have. We do have some.
Yeah.
All right. Well, shout out to all three of you in Toronto. So speaking of that game, I don't want to dwell too much on it, but you did mention that, you know, that 61-yard bomb to Kenny Stills, which, by the way, was awesome, except for the fact that I had Kenny Stills on the fucking bench of my fantasy football league. But that's neither here nor there. It was on 3rd and 10. It was a 3rd and 10 play, and it looked like Adam Gase, you know, it was classic Adam Gase play calling. 3rd and 10, 4th and short, we're going to go over the top, which makes sense. I mean, that's when Adam Gase is at his best, is when he's able to say, look, they're expecting us to try to get 10 yards. They're expecting us to dump it off and try to, you know, break a tackle and get some yards after the catch. And you kind of catch that defensive backfield, you know, sneaking up a little bit or sleeping, and Kenny Stills is able to just burn right past them and get a large gain. I love that. He did that a lot last year with Ryan Tannehill on 3rd and short, 4th and short. He's done it here with Matt Moore. You don't see that with Jay Cutler. You don't.
Right.
You see the short pass. You see the 3-yard, 4-yard pass, and you hope that Julius Thomas or Damien Williams or somebody can break a tackle and pick up that first down. Or, even worse, you see a draw play. And I at this point, Adam Gase can say whatever he wants, but there's something wrong with Jay Cutler. It's either a mental thing or a physical thing or both. But Adam Gase, you could just tell by his play calling, Chris, that he doesn't trust Jay Cutler or this offense to be able to get things done when Jay Cutler is under center, although he does when it's Matt Moore and Ryan Tannehill with regards to the plays that he calls. So what gives ultimately? Is it an injury?
It has to be. It's either an injury or a mentality thing, because we've been talking about this for weeks. And if it's not that, then there's something wrong with Adam Gase and his coaching ability, because I don't get it. Exactly what you said. If you follow my Twitter, I said the same thing. 3rd and 10. Hey, Adam Gase finally going deep. He used to do that last year. Why wasn't he doing it with Jay? Like, why wasn't he? There has to be a reason, because like that's his bread and butter. He did it all the time, and I loved it. I think the deep touchdown against the Chargers last year was on 3rd down. You know, Tannehill did that all the time, where he had one-on-one with single high safety or on the outside. And I don't think it's any kind of a coincidence that Kenny Stills went off after Matt Moore came in, because he throws the ball down the field and Kenny Stills has speed and he gets open. So there has to be something wrong with Jay Cutler and his mentality, mental block or something, or an injury physically. And if that's the case, I'm with the fans that are questioning Adam Gase as a head coach because he's making a decision to keep running that guy out there as the starter when he's obviously limiting our play calling and our offense.
Well, and there are some injuries. I mean, obviously he had the cracked ribs earlier this season, which led to Matt Moore starting against the Baltimore Ravens. But he also had a concussion in this game. I mean, the only person I'm going to mention on the injury report this week is the fact that Jay Cutler did not come out in the – well, he came out in the second half of the game but was not there long, and he's been in concussion protocol. But that aside, despite the fact that he hasn't been playing well, despite the fact that he's got injuries to his ribs, to his head, and possibly to his arm, which is what you and I are speculating – Adam Gase is still going to trot him out there. He's still the starter. I mean, he said something to the effect of, Jay Cutler has done everything I've asked him to do, so why would he not be the starter? And I'm like, oh, really? You've asked Jay Cutler to throw interceptions before the half? You've asked Jay Cutler to throw interceptions in the end zone when the team is driving? You've asked Jay Cutler to shit the bed constantly? If that's the case, then we got to get rid of Adam Gase. But, you know, obviously that's not what he's saying. And once again, protecting his boy, protecting his quarterback. And really, at this point, all you can do is really throw your hands up and say, okay, I mean, I guess this is what we're doing. We're going to have Jay Cutler against the New England Patriots, who we've been saying all season long haven't looked like the New England Patriots, but here they are, 8-2, in firm control of the AFC at this point since the Kansas City Chiefs have come back to earth. And, oh, by the way, the game's in New England, and Bill Belichick is probably not going to take it easy on the Miami Dolphins, is my guess.
Yeah, he never does, and nor should he. But the thing that's pissing me off, it seems like Adam Gase is sacrificing this season, the entire season. That's another year for Mike Pouncey and Cam Wake and Ndamukong Suh that we're sacrificing just so he can protect Jay Cutler on a one-year deal. I mean, Gase is going to be here next year. He's probably going to be here the year after, and he's going to be coaching for years, decades. He's a young guy. He wants to really fall on the sword for this one season and really, really scratch up his legacy as far as what he accomplished as an offensive coordinator and his first year as a head coach and everybody praising him and things like that. It's just really mind-boggling to me that they must be so close that he hasn't once called out Jay Cutler like he calls out everybody else. And I'm sorry, the fact that it keeps coming out from the reporters that Matt Moore is a locker room guy and the guys really love him in there, he's a leader, that's going to rub those guys the wrong way if Gase keeps doing that. Now, if he was a player's coach and not calling about out anybody, that's one thing. But if he's coming out saying something about Drake fumbling and blaming the offensive line or calling the offense crap for 2 years since he's been there, but never calling out Jay Cutler, but he can call out Damian Williams and he can call out Alonzo, and it just, you can't do that. You can't. It's favoritism. It's been around since kindergarten. I mean, you got a teacher that obviously favors somebody, you're going to notice it, and it's going to rub people the wrong way. So it's just weird that Adam Gase is doing this and really just sticking it to Matt Moore, and then he comes in and the team, the offense just clicks. It looks totally different. The announcers even mentioned it, that it lit a spark on the offense and the defense. We started getting stops. Now, of course, not the last one, the most important one of the game, but that's what we do. We're Miami Dolphins. But he sparked everybody, and now you're just going to be like, oh, no, Jay Cutler's coming back against Patriots. I mean, like you said, Cam Wake sounded defeated, and it's going to be interesting to see if the team gives up on Adam Gase on Sunday.
Well, and that last drive that the defense gave up, I mean, obviously you blame them, but at the same time, can you blame them? Because they were put in such a bad situation all game long where we were throwing interceptions, fumbling the ball, giving opportunities back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense to the point where eventually all those plays, Chris, are going to wear defense out. And ultimately, that's what happened. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick put on his magic hat and turned into Ryan Fitzmagic and got it all the way down there. And you know, it is what it is. We lost the game. And that's the thing. We're more talented than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I know that because we gave the ball away and we still were able to tie the game and be there at the end. Also, on top of that, we did get penalties. I mean, this team is super undisciplined. We're 31st in the league in penalties. I think the only team that makes more penalties per game than us is the Seattle Seahawks. And they have considerable more talent that they can overcome that and are in a worse division than we are. I mean, we're doing something like 8.6 penalties per game, which is
that's horrible.
It's up almost an extra penalty per game than last year when I thought we were an undisciplined team because we were young. Adam Gase cannot figure out how to get this team to play without penalties. Now, some of the penalties were bullshit. Offensive pass interference in the end zone on a touchdown play, which wasn't there. And you have to overcome.
Sue holding on a run play? Like, how does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, there's just some questionable calls, but there's always going to be questionable calls when it comes to the referees on penalties. What you can't have happen is a referee take points off the board when it's clear as day that the safety had occurred in the end zone. Obviously, that was 2 points. We were still down, but we would have gotten the ball back with momentum on our side. Instead, No, they get to punt the ball away, and the team doesn't do anything with it. It's just there's too much. There's too much in this game. The Dolphins are more talented than the Buccaneers, but they're not talented enough to overcome penalties, shoddy referee play, the other team, and ultimately themselves. They just can't do it. They don't have that much talent, which leads us to the Walking Dead this Sunday against a very talented New England Patriots team in New England. Chris, do we have a snowball's chance in hell of winning this game, or what do the Dolphins have to do in order to even have a shot at winning this game?
Poison Tom Brady's food before the game?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That's it. I mean, there's no chance we're winning this game. And now watch, I'll say that and we'll win by 30, but there's no chance we win this game. It's too important to them for home field advantage. It's a divisional game. We haven't played them all year. We are coming off four straight losses. There's no way they can let us come into New England and beat them at home when they have so much riding on it. Like you said, the Chiefs dropped down a couple games. I mean, they have a clear front running to having home field advantage locked up, and they're still games to go, so they can't risk that and coming out flat against the Miami Dolphins. It's not going to happen.
No, I mean, they're 8-2. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 8-2, a very quiet 8-2, if I could point that out. Yeah. And the Jacksonville Jaguars are 7-3. So you have three teams that are at the top of the AFC right now with regards to record. Very reasonable that any of them could get home field advantage. You know, the Patriots know that. They're going to go after getting that first round bye. They're getting home field advantage throughout the playoffs, which if that's the case, you might as well pencil them in for the Super Bowl because, again, three teams, 8-2, 7-3, none of them other than the Patriots look remarkably great to me. So if you give the Patriots home field advantage throughout the entire playoffs, guess what? They're going to make it to the Super Bowl from the AFC. But that's the thing, man. I just don't see Bill Belichick and Tom Brady letting go. There's two things here. One, it's a division rival. Two, they're going for home field advantage. I really don't see how we're going to win this game. I mean, the only way I think we have a shot of winning this game is if somebody like Tom Brady gets injured. I don't think Jay Cutler's going to lead this team to victory in a shootout. I don't think the defense is good enough to hold Tom Brady and that offense to a low-scoring game where maybe we can steal one with a kick or something like that. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's just unfortunate to say, but I really do feel like we're going to fail in this game. I got us losing 38-10. I got them scoring five touchdowns and a field goal, and Bill Belichick's going to bitch about the field goal.
Yeah, probably, and I'm sure Brian Hoyer will get one of those touchdowns after Brady is benched and cheering like a animal after a bunch of touchdowns at Gronk and Cooks. But it's just one of those things where we know the formula to beat the New England Patriots because we used to do it pretty consistently, at least splitting with them, even in their like hard run in the mid-2000s and early 2000s. And here's how. You have to get to Tom Brady with a four-man rush. You have to be able to sack him, force him to get rid of the ball, and not let him have plays develop and throw it in the middle and deep down the field. We can't do that. We didn't get the Fitzpatrick at all. And this is an offensive line, and Tom Brady gets the ball out so quick in this system where we have trouble getting to the guy anyway. So if you can't get to him with an older Cam Wake that hasn't had a sack in a few games, I mean, this is the same offensive line as Tom Brady. I think it was the last game of the year last year where Cam Wake only needed a half sack and it would have triggered some kind of like $500,000 incentive into his contract, and he didn't even get close to him. He didn't even sniff him. Like, it wasn't even close. He's just going to pick us apart, man, with our young corners. It's just not going to be one of those days where we're going to have any success at all. And we don't get turnovers on defense. We don't get to the quarterback. And when that happens, you just you don't win the game. I mean, if Ryan Fitzpatrick and Cam Newton and Josh McCown have over 100 QB ratings and look like superstars against our defense, what the hell is Tom Brady going to do?
Yeah, I mean, this might be a record-setting performance at this point. I mean, you combine the fact that we're not very good on either side of the ball. Our coaching has been suspect this year. All the injuries and the fact that, oh, by the way, it's Tom freaking Brady. And especially with the mentality of the team, based on some of the quotes that we've seen, this is going to be kind of a tough one to watch. But that failure aside, Chris, it is time for my favorite subject on this show, my favorite topic. You interrupted me last week, but it's time once again for Welcome to the NFL. And this week, Chris, is what I was going to talk about last week. And I'm glad you interrupted me last week because it just added more fuel to the fire. And that, of course, is the New York Giants and their fan base, particularly the fan base. You think it's tough being a Miami Dolphin these days, guys? Try being a New York Giants fan. This is a franchise that has a quarterback that has beat Tom Brady, speaking of Tom Brady, twice in the Super Bowl. Okay, they're in the big major market for the NFL, the biggest market that they could possibly have in New York. They are the franchise of New York, not the Jets, not the Bills. It's the New York Giants. They have a level of success that this league wants them to have continually because of them being in that market. They still have that Super Bowl hangover a little bit where they expect this team to be good. Going into this season, everyone expected them to be good. And here they are at what? 1-9? I'm sorry, 2-9 or 2-8, whatever they are. And they can't even fail correctly. They lose to a formerly winless San Francisco 49ers team, which has got to be the most dejected thing they could possibly have. Their coach, Ben McAdont, is one of the worst coaches you could possibly have as a head coach this season. So what happens? Well, you pivot and you start thinking, great, at least we're going to lose out the rest of the year and we can actually get a good draft pick and start rebuilding this franchise and salvage whatever is left of Eli Manning's career. But no. They can't even do that correctly because what do they do last week? They go and beat the Kansas City Chiefs in overtime and jump over both the Browns and the 49ers, so they won't even get a top two pick this season. So they can't even fail correctly when they're failing. And for that reason right there is why they are welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, and they just look terrible. McAdoo doesn't look like he has any clue what he's doing. He's like Joe Philbin reincarnated. And plus, he just looks like...
His hair. You know, have you seen his hair? I want to spit on that guy every time I see him on my screen. He's spit-worthy.
Ben McAdoo looks like somebody that adopts a daughter that just so he can date her when she becomes 18. Like, he's just like Woody Allen, you know, like just like a stepdaughter from Korea or something, because he just like he definitely has a mail order bride is what I'm saying. Like, that's what he looks like. The Giants are terrible, but I will correct you on one thing, Sam. You said imagine being a Giants fan. Yeah, this year, at least they have seen two Super Bowl wins and championships. You and I, not so much.
But that's what I'm talking about. It's like they're level of success is Super Bowl champion, right? There, right. There's guys that are like, hey,
they've had so many injuries, though, big guys. I mean, it's just, and you're right, though. They've had all these injuries, and what do the lucky teams do that keep staying good? They lose their guys, their studs, for one season, but they lose so much that they're able to get stud draft picks and become elite again the following year. The Miami Dolphins go 7-9 and 8-8, and all the good talent is completely gone off the board by the time we're drafting, and it happens every year.
All I'm saying is that a Dolphins fan, we fall off the bed every single year and we complain about how much it hurts. Imagine falling off the roof head first like the New York Giants and how much that's got to hurt. So I'm just saying, those poor bastards over there, I feel sorry for them. And I like the Giants because they did beat the Patriots twice, so I feel for them, man. It's bad enough that our team sucks, but my second team that I like, the New York Giants, sucks as well. It's a bad season for NFL football for old Sammy over here. Anyway, there's not a whole lot else we could talk about, Chris. We both see us losing this game against the Patriots. We both don't really see a lot of hope of this team doing anything for the rest of this season. I think we will be lucky to win one, maybe two games and go 6-10, 5-11. It's very possible that the bottom completely falls out and we go 4-12. I do think we have one more win in us. I don't think that this team's going to go winless the rest of the season. But either way, man, it's almost time for us to start shifting over to the college game and start looking at who we can draft and who would make the biggest impact into the Miami Dolphins going into next year. But before we do that, why don't we go ahead and spin the wheel of whatever and see where the wheel takes us this week, Chris.
Sounds great. Got my fingerless gloves, and here we go.
There it is, man. I almost feel like you give yourself a hernia every week. You do the you throw it so hard, and that
I have to shit before every show so I don't shart while doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that's why we're always late, is you and I are both taking a poop, but me just because I got bad guts, and you because it's strategic so you don't shit all over the wheel. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to keep the wheel pristine.
That's right.
All right. So this is funny, Sam. We've talked about some coaches already, Bill Belichick, and we've talked about McAdont and Gase even getting a little fire under him in his second year as a Miami Dolphins head coach for his boneheaded decisions. But have you ever seen anything like the Buffalo Bills on Sunday when Sean McDermott benched out of the blue Tyrod Taylor when his defense gave up 50 points and he was on the sideline, and then his replacement comes in and throws not one, not three, not four, but five interceptions in the first half? I mean, that's like playing Madden on all Madden mode and you're four. And you throw five interceptions in the first half. That's the only way that's possible, not in a real NFL game. Sam, could it have happened to a better franchise?
No, I was so happy to watch that. I mean, while my team was melting down against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I was able to actually watch that happen as well. And man, what a shit show. But I'll tell you what, McDermott is a kid genius because he was able to solve two problems by making this switch. So obviously the defense was a problem, Chris. So he put Nathan Peterman in at quarterback. And you know who won Defensive Player of the Week for the AFC? Would be Nathan Peterman, the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. So congrats to the quarterback for being the best defensive player. He prevented the Buffalo Bills from scoring at all in that first half. No, I'm trying to remember the last time I watched a quarterback throw five interceptions in one half of one game. I mean, man, talk about setting your guy up to fail. Not only do you bring him in, and he really should have been the welcome to the NFL this week, but not only does he bring him in, but the best part about it, the part that was just the cherry on top of the sundae, Chris, was I actually did a little trolling. I went over, I started watching some Buffalo Bills tweets from their fans, and they were talking about how this is the time right now
Tom
where
Brady.
The AFC East shifts. This is the Buffalo Bills version of Tom Brady. This is when the new era of Buffalo Bills football begins. Nathan freaking Peterman. And then by halftime, they're like, never mind. We're going to go back to the guy who was actually helping us win games earlier this year with Tyrod Taylor. Unbelievable. It was. Look, this is why you don't have a middle schooler as your head coach. I mean, that right there, what a terrible, terrible idea by McDermott. But I guess you live and you learn.
Well, you know how we think Adam Gase calls a lot of screens because it obviously works against our defense in practice. Because our defense sucks at stopping screens, and then we get to the game and it doesn't work. I wonder, because McDermott is a defensive-minded coach, if he thought that he was helping his defense out by putting Peterman out there because he thought it was practice and not a game. Because that's the only thing I can think of. It's so funny. I've never seen an NFL career ruined in one half, but that's exactly what happened because that kid, he's probably going to be a mental case for the rest of his career, worse than Chad Henne was. And Tyrod Taylor is completely getting out of town. He's never coming back to the Buffalo Bills ever after this season. Five interceptions in the first half. You know how you hurt your toe, Sam, and someone says, you want me to break your finger so you stop thinking about the toe? That's the only thing that saved us from being the absolute laughingstock of the NFL on Sunday was Peterman throwing five interceptions. So thank you, sir. Thank you from Perfectville.
Jesus Christ. I've never heard that phrase in my life. Oh, I hurt my toe. Want me to break your finger so you don't... Wow.
Well, you know, like, my ear hurts. It's like, hurt your finger and you'll stop thinking about it. You know, somebody will know.
Somebody out there that's got a rough childhood might know. I'm going to call my mom and thank her for
something
not
to cry about.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, here's the thing, man. That is the show. Thank you guys very much, as always, for listening to Perfectville. We do have one review, Chris, that I do have to get to. And this is from Frank Corin. He's Cornyn, I think, is actually how you say it. He's following us on Twitter. He's listening to the show. He says basically that he's been listening to the show for a long time. He lives in Massachusetts, so this is his safe haven, especially living around the Patriots. He's going to have a rough week up there. But he did say, 5 stars, listen up. Okay, here it is. Being a Dolphins fan living in the Patriots hellhole of New England, I listen to many podcasts on the Dolphins. Perfectville is the best, without a doubt. These are the guys to get through an inevitably frustrating Dolphins season with. Proud citizen of Perfectville. Absolutely, Frank. Thank you very much. That is Frank, ladies and gentlemen. Be like Frank. He is the citizen of the week here in Perfectville. You guys can get yourself your own Perfectville Sipsack koozie by giving us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, just like Frank. Frank will be getting his koozie here before too long. And stay tuned on welcometoperfectville.com because we got some fun stuff coming up, some exclusive content that you'll find nowhere else other than welcometoperfectville.com. You can also now purchase Aronde Bagston at our Perfectville store. That's right. The town shop is now open for business. You guys can get on there and order more of these things, have them for parties, whatever the case may be. We appreciate all the support, all of the money that you guys give us, which, again, these things are cheap. They're like $2. Goes right back into the show so we can get you bigger and better content. Chris, anything else you want to say before we take off on this drizzling, rainy day in Perfectville?
Yeah, real quick for a belly laugh, Bill Belichick in his interview about the game said, quote, Cutler and Matt Moore are both outstanding quarterbacks, end quote. So there he is. He's always kissing ass before the game, before they come out and absolutely face stomp us into the curb. So quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're outstanding on the sideline after throwing another interception to the New England Patriots. That's what it means by outstanding quarterbacks. Fuck you, Bill Belichick. I hope you choke on a turkey bone Thursday at Thanksgiving.
That is his son-in-law's name, I think. Turkey, right?
Who gives a shit?
Ooh, turkey bone. Get it? Chokes on a turkey bone?
Yeah, I was going to say. I think I didn't know his son was married, but there you go. anyway, anything else you want to say before we get out of here, Chris?
That's it, man.
That's it. So with that being said, goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Perfectville.